Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief for Memorial Day. Most of the U.S. is shut down today, more so than it has been for the last 3 months. AWS has, of course, been busy over the past week, as they always are. But first, this episode is sponsored in part by our friends at DigitalOcean. If you want a cloud provider that doesn't require tearing your hair out in frustration and chasing down weird bugs that haunt your dreams, consider DigitalOcean. From the baseline level of cloud services everyone expects, storage, databases, disks, all the way up to managed Kubernetes, they have something for you in an approachable, realistic way that a human being can understand. To learn more, visit do.co/morning. That's do.co/morning. And my thanks to them for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. Now, on to that ridiculous podcast. Amazon Chime SDK adds data messages for real-time signaling. This certainly buries the lead. Out-of-band signaling for the Chime SDK, which is the good part of Chime, is huge in terms of what it potentially unlocks as far as the capability to integrate apps built on top of it with other things. And I think that the blog post that they put up dramatically manages to undersell that. Also, speaking on the same service, Amazon Chime SDK meetings support up to 250 attendees. That's right. With the SDK, you can now trick up to 250 people into using Chime at the same time. Amazon DynamoDB Local adds support for empty values for non-key string and binary attributes and 25-item transactions. The fact that this was released 3 days after the actual DynamoDB service supported these changes highlights my entire beef with locally mocking cloud services. You're always developing against what is inherently an imperfect copy. Stick with either using the real cloud services to develop against or else listening to this podcast so that I can mock cloud services for you. Amazon DynamoDB now supports empty values for non-key string and binary attributes in DynamoDB tables, different than the previous item because this came out 3 days prior, and it would have been really handy if it instead came out 5 years ago. Today, no, I'm not going to go out and remove all of the handling logic that got around this monstrosity. That's awful. I'm going to continue to keep things exactly as they are, but this is mostly then going to just trip up people who are learning for the first time, seeing old data, or trying to pass a certification. Amazon Neptune refreshes the console to simplify database creation. This is a big win for Neptune because the old console looked more like Uranus. Amazon Transcribe now supports vocabulary filtering for real-time transcriptions. Among other things, this lets you automatically remove profane words from the transcription results for content moderation or generating family-friendly captions. So you're going to have some trouble using it for re:Invent talks about the snowball edge. Amazon Virtual Private Cloud, or VPC, now supports Bring Your Own IPv6 Addresses, or BYOIP-V6, which absolutely no one uses. Well, this one is highly relevant to some folks who won't stop whining about IPv6. If you don't know what this is all about, excellent. Please move on and remain happy. AWS Backup supports new options for customizing backup selections. Good. You can now set policies like never backup RDS because you're a dangerous fool who flirts with disaster so much that it thinks you're about to propose. AWS CloudFormation now supports blue-green deployments for Amazon ECS. Implementing blue-green deployments via CloudFormation sounds like a project you'd give to an intern right before you were severely reprimanded for violating your company's hazing policy. AWS Code Build Test Reporting is now generally available. The ridiculous system that powers this newsletter is deployed via Code Build. I'm pleased that I can finally get information about what happens when that build process fails, which is often, because my code is garbage. AWS Global Accelerator is now available in 2 additional regions. Now, maybe I'm asking too much here, but it seems to me that availability is region by region, and the word global is in the name, shouldn't both apply to the same product. AWS Marketplace launches rapid data delivery for sellers and consulting partners. a lost opportunity to offer a physical media option and win the headline award for introducing AWS Snow Cannon. Easily back up and restore your SAP HANA database to and from Amazon S3 with AWS Backint Agent. Now, I have no idea if this is a solution that got its own landing page or a quiet launch of a first-party AWS service that's branded with another company's product or something else altogether. A little help? This episode is also sponsored by ExtraHop. ExtraHop provides threat detection and response for the enterprise. On-prem security doesn't translate well to cloud or multi-cloud environments, and that's not even counting IoT. ExtraHop automatically discovers everything inside the perimeter, including all your cloud workloads and IoT devices. It then detects threats up to 95% faster than other things, and way faster than that compared to CloudTrail, and helps you act on those threats immediately. Ask for a free trial of detection and response for AWS at extrahop.com/trial. And yeah, ExtraHop does security super well. In news from the exact opposite of doing security super well, introducing the Amazon EKS Best Practices Guide for Security. Anyone who's not currently on board the Kubernetes hype train will read this document and realize that the actual best practices for security are to not use EKS at all and pick ECS or something else instead. Introducing the Game Analytics Pipeline. Now, when I see a post from AWS about Analytics Pipeline, I know, even before I click on the link, that the architecture diagram is going to be screamingly funny because it's going to be so over-the-top complex that no one is going to build it. And in this case, I was absolutely not disappointed. The architecture diagram for their Game Analytics Pipeline features 26 distinct nodes on that architectural diagram. I leave the snark to you. Introducing live streaming on AWS with MediaStore. I have no idea whether this offering is trying to work with Twitch, replace Twitch, or just make me Twitch. Lumberyard Beta 1.24 is now available, and I'm just going to point out that Lumberyard has been in beta for over 4 years now. It's like it's a Google product. Now query for AWS availability zones and local zones using AWS Systems Manager Parameter Store. Route 53 is my database, DynamoDB is my calculator, and now Systems Manager Parameter Store is my regional service availability database, except somehow that last one isn't an egregious misuse, but rather an actual feature as designed. Reducing the cost of managing multiple AWS accounts using AWS Control Tower. By spending 6 months of engineering time getting this stuff to work with your existing accounts and processes. Good cost savings there. I've been using Control Tower since it became generally available, and it's way better than where it was, but it is nowhere near its final form yet. Continue to probably give that a pass. Building a CI/CD pipeline for multi-region deployment with AWS Code Pipeline. This is great. Now do one for a CI/CD toolset that customers use. AWS Artifact Service launches new user interface. I'm always going to highlight releases from AWS Artifact just because people don't know that Artifact exists. If you care about compliance, for God's sake, read up on what Artifact does because it's going to save you months of pain. For those too lazy to pull up a computer and check, it winds up giving a list of all of the different AWS compliance documents and certifications so you don't have to do it all yourself. Look into it, please. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Whereas if you've hated this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts anyway, along with a comment telling me exactly why that joke about Code Pipeline wasn't funny.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.